It's The Broker Show. We're talking real estate, investing, local market trends, feel-good stories, mindsets, and strategies for success. Let us know what you want to talk about, and chances are we will. Hosted by The Broker Joe and co-hosted by Etch.
Girl, put your records on. Tell me your favorite song. Yeah, go ahead and let your hair down. Sapphire.
What you up, live?
Man? Yeah, yeah.
Welcome to The Broker Show.
Gotcha.
Music is off?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Welcome to The Broker Show. I'm The Broker Joe. And we've got Etch. Etch, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
I hope you enjoyed that.
I did. I hope you thoroughly. Enjoyed. It was good, man.
It's a beautiful day, Digging. Man. Just feel like singing. You put on these songs, you know. What's that Ripped Jeans song? There's this back like 10 years ago, there's a song Ripped Jeans. There's Ripped Jeans in it.
Oh geez.
Anyway, our audience so probably knows what it is, and I'm guilty. I'm guilty of singing it.
That's all right.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah,
sometimes you just got to bust out into random vocals. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let it go.
Feels good.
It does.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So, how's everyone been? Hope you all have been enjoying this incredible weather. I know it's all over the country. It's a little crazy, the weather. It's like you go from extreme to extreme so quickly. You're cold, you want summer, then summer hits bang, and it's dry, and there's drought, and there's fires, and it's dry here in Michigan. Lake levels are down everywhere. River levels are down everywhere. But out in California, Arizona, Nevada, we're going to Nevada in Utah this weekend.
It's my
wife's birthday. Yep, we're going to go and take, we're going to do some mountain climbing. We're going to go to Angel's Landing, do a little kind of a scary climb with the kids. So they're getting better all the time. We take them on these hikes, and but we're going to do some canyoneering out there.
Oh, nice.
So canyoneering is actually rappelling into a canyon, right? So they set you up at the top. They get you all the gear, get the kids hooked up, us hooked up. You rappel down roughly, I think we're going to be doing 100-foot faces.
Nice.
So you rappel down, you hike the canyon, you rappel up and out, and so on and so forth for 3-4 hours.
The kids are going to do this?
The kids are going to do it all,
man. Oh, man.
They're going to do it all. Yep.
This is going to be
teach them young.
How old's your youngest?
Nine.
Yeah. So 9 years old.
And 9 years old.
Doing some canyoneering.
He's going to be canyoneering. And he loves it, right? Yeah. So my oldest, if she were nine, I'm not sure we'd pull it off. But he's nine. He loves this type of stuff. He's going to embrace it. He's going to be all about it. So we'll see how it goes. But it's going to be hot. Very, very hot out there.
Yep.
It was like 90 today out there. It's like 109 right now.
A little bit of a dry heat, though.
Yeah, it's better. It was pretty humid.
Humidity was high today, you know, because it was oh, am I going to rain? Oh, maybe I won't. Oh, hey, guess what? Maybe I will. And then I got to mow my lawn today. So, I mean, that's
good for you, man.
My little thing. Yeah.
Good,
yeah.
good. You don't have to worry about the frost stepping on anymore. No, we talked about that in a previous episode. We learn something every day on here.
I know.
Every day we're learning something.
Yeah. Your wife's birthday is today.
It is today.
Mine is on Sunday.
Yeah.
I turned 40, man. 40 Whoa. Years old, the big 4-0.
Well, my wife's 35. I just gave away her age.
And
happy birthday. Happy birthday 25. To what? You. Love to. We could sing an encore.
There you go.
Yeah. What are we talking about today?
Wash the dishes.
The dishes.
Your dishes.
So, you know, washing the dishes, we're going to talk about washing the dishes today. And if you hate washing the dishes, maybe this is for you. And maybe you leave and you stop listening and you stop watching and you shut this off right now. That's fine. Still love you. You can come back.
But if
you're intrigued, can we?
Can we just hold for 1 second?
Of course.
Because I know my dad is going to watch this.
Okay.
And this is really funny because he watches all the episodes.
Okay.
And he critiques everything that we say and do.
Okay.
And he loves it.
As of right now, fan.
Loves it.
Okay.
So one of the things, and I believe I may have in earlier episodes of this, talked about how when my mom and dad split, it was just my dad and I living in the same quarters together, the same old family house that I grew up in since birth. And he jokes that I would rather eat with a stick than wash dishes and use fresh dishes. And he's like, I'm going to try to prove this. So I don't know. It probably took a couple of weeks. And then he started implementing where he went down to absolutely the bare minimals of any type of dishes. One bowl, one plate, one fork, knife, and spoon, one cup, and left that in the house just to see how long I would go. And I used it once. And then I started getting creative. serving spoons. I'm like, ah, I got this. I'll figure this out.
See, so, I like serving spoons. I like, it works for everything.
Yeah. So then he would laugh and he legitimately, he's like, seriously, he goes, I was right. He goes, you would rather eat with something that doesn't even have any purpose served for it than do any kind of dish and wash them. And I talk about this regularly on my morning radio show because it actually is the truth. I hate doing dishes. And my soon-to-be wife laughs about it all the time. And then now it's turning to annoyance of, you just need to start doing dishes. So I've tried to do better on it, but this is something that I'm working on myself. So this is like the perfect episode to
this
talk
is
about
fantastic
with wash the dishes.
This because is good
I feel
for
like
you.
I'm going to learn something off of your just huge knowledge.
Sure, about
of
washing
how to keep
dishes.
A happy home and doing dishes.
Yeah, so we'll talk about the principle of washing dishes here and the psychological impact that it can have. We're just going to really take apart washing dishes. But first of all, I think if you ever move to a foreign country, you should consider the Middle East.
Yeah.
I was in, Sri Lanka is in the Middle East.
They eat with sticks too?
I visited Sri Lanka some years ago, India and Sri Lanka. Mm-hmm. And in Sri Lanka, our first night there, we're in this couple's house to eat dinner. Mm-hmm. And they take out this big tray. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of the tray is a big pile of beans and a big pile of rice and a big pile of this, big pile of that. Just big piles of raw material.
Right.
Yeah. So one by one, they kind of scooch it around and everyone literally takes their hands. There's not a fork, a spoon.
Oh, I'm in.
Nothing in sight. They take their hands and just reach in and grab what they want and put it on their plate.
Yeah.
And then eat it.
They got the right idea.
They mix it with their
hands.
That's
what I'm saying.
And they eat it with their hands and they just reach in and grab it. I mean, there's just full of finger marks, right? Claw marks grabbing at the food.
I love this idea, except for here's my problem.
Yes.
I'm like Howie Mandel, and then I'm a huge germaphobe as well. So I have like this conundrum going on.
That's not
going to
work. You eat dinner by yourself. Your own piles, man. Your own piles on your own tray.
Like this caveman.
And then you just shovel it in, man. You shovel it. You lick it all off.
I'm in.
Oh, man.
That works for me.
I would love to see that. I love to see that. There's got to be a restaurant somewhere that they do this, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not.
If not,
maybe we start one. I don't know. Maybe we're the only ones who eat there.
Yeah, if you're listening out there, you've been looking for a good idea to steal from somebody, there you go.
I'll eat anything in any shape or form. I mean, I just as long as it's not coconut or liver, I'll eat it. It's fine.
I don't
fine.
Like liver. Gizzards either.
So washing the dishes. So you guys probably know where I'm going with this. I'm talking about people we have. This is a pet peeve of mine, especially lately. And it doesn't peeve me or annoy me as much as it concerns me about people. And you see potential. A lot of it starts with me, right? So when you're self-analyzing, you look at your life and your habits and your bad habits, your good habits, and how you can move forward. When you really are truthful with yourself, you kind of begin to see the first things really truthfully that are holding you back are just bad habits you have of the things that you are not doing that you should be doing, right? And we've talked about this before. I'm gonna get fit. I'm gonna eat right. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. So little steps, little moments, and let's flip this over and let's talk about the things that we don't appreciate like we should. These quiet moments, these simple tasks, because we have a lottery mindset, right? Home runs are sexy. People love
always.
Home runs. Mm-hmm. You see, big guy gets up there in the box and he hits a home run, get a walk-off home run. Everyone loves it. Everyone wants to hit a home run, right? Everyone wants to hit it big, get the big job, get the winning lottery ticket, right? Just get it all over with right now. What we don't think about is that player standing at the plate, however young they are. Remember, these players, they start probably have been playing since they were 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
Right? And there was a grind. The vast majority of these players, minus the few superstars, the LeBrons and Kobes of the world that got drafted when they're 18 years old out of college, right?
Yep.
Minus those guys, these guys spent years and years grinding it out, playing 250 games a year, summer ball, winter ball, fall ball, spring ball, day after day on minimum wage, right? Playing double headers 5, 6, 7 days a week to get to this point for years, never knowing for sure if they were ever going to get called up to the bigs, right? All this time they spent, and then all the time that goes, when you look at all these coaches, there's a coach for everything. Right? Yeah. There's a coach for everything. There's a pitching coach, assistant pitching coach. There's the assistant's pitching coach, right? And then every other aspect of the game. all these coaches constantly tweaking, evaluating, coaching, training, and you're constantly under attack. It's easy to look at those few moments on the television where you hit a home run. It's like the highlight reel, right? Social media, our lives, it's like our highlight reel, and we don't like putting up the mistakes, right? We don't like putting up the mistakes. We like putting up the highlights, the big wins, the big things. And that is something that it can be very counterproductive because it really distracts us from doing the little, sometimes really annoying things that not just are accomplishing something, but are accomplishing something in us. It's creating the character that we need to move forward. There's a couple sayings I like. One, I don't know who said this, but it's almost everything comes from almost nothing. I love that one. Almost everything that we all enjoy today, right? You grab, I was reading about the guy who invented the paperclip. He's from Detroit.
Is he?
Right?
I didn't know this.
This guy is a very wealthy man.
He invented the paperclip. I would say.
Patented it and retired, right?
Jeez.
And so it's such a small thing that we all use. Yeah. We all have in our lives somewhere. It's something that we don't even think about, right? So almost everything comes from almost nothing. These small things that we don't appreciate or think about. And this guy was like, I'm going to come up with a solution for a very simple, small problem. And look at what he's accomplished. He's changed the lives of everyone, of people worldwide.
Now they bend them into like certain shapes and stuff. They're
awesome.
Stars. There's one that looks just like a little dog and everything.
Yep.
I think I have one over here that's at my desk, but regardless, like just different shapes that they appeal to everybody.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you just don't want the conventional one? Well, hey, check it out. Here's a Ferrari of them.
Yeah. I haven't seen that yet. My son would love that. He loves making the Japanese.
Origami.
Yes. He loves it. He has like origami books, and we get it for Christmas and birthdays.
Like I said, I have some paper clips that have different like shapes and stuff. I'll grab them and give them to you before you go.
So, you know, now I'm going to take this a step further. Mm-hmm. There's another saying I like. It's rejoice in small things and watch them grow.
Yes.
Right? So, again, I deal with a lot of people in my job, right? A lot of people in and out, and people are going through life challenges. Gosh, this COVID thing has set people back in a lot of ways. But it was also an opportunity for us to steel ourselves, right? To really focus in. And there's a lot of people more and increasingly saying that COVID was the big reset button.
Mm-hmm.
And we've said this on this show.
Yep.
All the people that had been talking about that job change for years, they changed the job. Mm-hmm. The people that talked about that relationship change, they changed the relationship. The people that talked about the move, talked about these big things. It created this environment where people actually came out of their comfort zones. It was already so, we get so lost in the rat race and in what's right in front of us, right? That we don't sit back and go, what are we doing? What are the small things that I can do to put myself on a different path instead of the one I'm going on, right? So I'm learning. I'm still learning and growing to rejoice in these small moments, these small things, to take care of them, to be good stewards of them, and watch it grow. Watch that investment grow. I take care of this, I take it, then it'll take care of me. There's a scripture I love. I'm going to read it. Luke 16:10. It says, "Whoever can show that they can be trusted with very little will be trusted with much. But if you are not a good steward of little, you will not be a good steward of much." And pretty obvious thought process there is the people that we look around and we see are successful, like the ball player or the person that's on stage singing, the thousands of little moments and the little choices they made to grind through instead of getting distracted by this, distracted by that, going off and doing this, going off and doing that. We all want something, fortune to fall in our laps. But at the end of the day, not only are we going to find what we're seeking when we really hone in on making the most of the little moments that we have, the little opportunities we have, but it'll also be more rewarding personally in life experience, more rewarding to enjoy these moments instead of always hoping tomorrow's going to be better, always hoping next year's going to be better. Because I think everyone knows that's a lie.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. I've done that in business. I did it years ago. I think in little ways I still do it, right? I tell myself next week will be slower.
Mm.
Next month is going to be easier. Right? Next year, I won't have these problems. Right?
I hear it all the time when we're like, hey, let's do another podcast. Like, great. Next week is a slow week. And then this week it was like, hey, what's up? I just drove 400 miles today, brother.
I did.
But then the next thing that came out of your mouth, the next thing that came out of your mouth, Joe, was, Next week's a slower week. It's supposed to slow down.
It's so true.
We talked about, like, what are we going to do? Like, hey, so what's the next step? Like, what are the things that we're going to do with this program? Like, what are these great things that we want to bring to our listeners and our viewers? And then it's like, okay, let's get together on Tuesday because it's a slower week. And then it's like, oh, wait, no. And it's the same for me, too. I mean, I won't sit here and pretend that it's not. We got our wedding coming up. My fiance's birthday was
very
last
exciting.
Weekend.
Yep,
right?
Yep.
This weekend is my 40th birthday party. It's just like,
My wife's birthday is today. I'm literally here. Now, she is out shopping with the kids. Okay, so
give
she's
your credit
having a
card,
good
didn't
time.
You?
You know, so she took that and
she knew
went
you were
out
doing
shopping.
This. You're like, here, better give
and,
me.
And you know, my phone's blowing up with credit alert. No, no, it's not. No, she's great. She's great.
You've reached your limit.
Yeah. So, but you know, talk to the. I love the idea of NASA. NASA's intrigued me. I don't think there's a kid in the world that you'd been like, you want to be an astronaut? And they were like, nah, I'll pass. Right. Every kid wants to be an astronaut. NASA's always intrigued me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you break open a book about NASA and read it, what these guys have to do, the intensity of their training, and all the little details, especially the rocket scientist jokes, right? There's so much truth to that. There's a reason that it's a joke, is because rocket scientists, they spend years and years and years in their life calculating micromillimeters to the nth to make sure that this little tiny tube is going to go up at the exact right angle into the sky at 10 G's, right? Yep. And hold together. Lives are at stake. Billions of dollars at stake. It's incredible. It's unbelievable. So in 2016, there were 18,000 qualified applicants. I believe that was one of the last years that NASA, maybe they're opening it up more recently. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but at the time I read it, in 2016, they opened up the program. We're going to hire more astronauts, okay? 18,000 legitimately qualifiable applicants, right? 12 people were chosen out of 18,000.
Crazy.
So these 12 people, think of when NASA is looking at who is going to handle some of the most sensitive detailed, intricate information. Mm-hmm. The human being that's qualified for that, right?
Yep.
These people, I would love, one of my life's goals is just to meet an astronaut, right? I would just love to meet one.
Sure.
Shake their hand, acknowledge the greatness of this human being that has dedicated all those precious moments, right? They're the ones who say no, no, no over and over to distractions, to things that could pull them aside, drag them down, and they grind through all these little tiny, tiny details for the opportunity to put a foot on the moon. It's incredible.
And now that's not even like anything that they do. It's like you're not going to go to the moon.
Yeah.
You know, you might hit Mars in the next 15, 20 years.
It's true.
But now it's not even NASA. Now NASA's working with like SpaceX.
It's true. Yes.
And all these other things. Like they just, I forget exactly
what
it was.
Amazon Jeff Bezos has his own. I can't remember what
it's
called.
Yeah. Apparently he's planning on doing like the first trip. Like he was talking about
him and his brother.
Yeah.
Him and his brother are going.
We're
going to
go
on the first one. Yeah.
Which is
they got it all planned out.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Okay.
I don't know, man. That's ballsy.
Cheers to you, bro.
Cheers to you. We'll watch from the couch. But that's why I'm here and that's why he's there, right? So just to frame it down, you can't shortcut excellence anywhere in any industry, in any environment, right? You want to succeed. So in my industry, in the real estate industry, 85% of new licensees flame out in the first 16 to 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 85%. They come in and they go, I love taking pictures and I like houses and it looks so fun and I love people and I love talking and all these things that I hear often, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so wonderful people, great intentions, counting the cost and understanding the, not just the competitive nature, but the fact that you're dealing with extremely sensitive, you're not selling someone a vacuum or even a car, right? You're trying to counsel them. A real estate agent is more of an advisor than they are anything, right? That is the most important piece of what we do. It's not just going through the perfunctionary steps and X, Y, Z. It is being an advisor, being reactive and proactive every step of the way through all the unexpected, right? So 85% of a match are done in just over a year.
Jeez.
Isn't that terrible?
It
it's
is.
Crazy.
Spent all that money on a license.
Yeah.
And all that time spent.
The other thing is the investment mindset it takes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're used to getting a wage, you work an hour, you get paid an hour,
yep.
right? That really sets into your mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when you work real estate and you work for 3 months and you haven't made any money, the wife has a lot of questions for you, right? Yep. The husband's got a lot of questions for you, right? Everyone's got a lot of questions for you. You're questioning yourself. You're questioning everything, right? And so it's really taxing.
Is that typical? Like if you're just getting into the game, like is it typical for like the first 3 months to just basically be like, hey, I got nothing?
Well, if you think about it, we're commission-based, right? Mm-hmm. So agents have to find a client that's serious, show the client houses or list their house, right? Mm-hmm. Now, in today's market, it's really hot right now, right? So if you do land a listing, you have what's known as a sale, okay? Right? It's sold.
Yep.
It's done. Buyers, a lot bigger challenge, right? Mm-hmm. Buyers are a little bit easier, right? There's more buyers than there are sellers. There's a little more buyers available for agents to work for. Mm-hmm. And so, but you get a buyer, you show them houses, you get into the bidding war, you lose. You show them more houses, you get into a bidding war, you lose, right? Mm-hmm. And then maybe the buyer gets a little smarter, agent gets a little smarter, right? But just talking through maybe an example of an evolution of a process.
Sure.
Then you win a deal, right? Mm-hmm. Then you've got to navigate inspections. Hopefully nothing's wrong. The deal doesn't fall through. Mm-hmm. Then you got to navigate the appraisal. Now the appraisal is a challenge because the house is selling for more than it would have last year or last week, right? At the rate things are going. And now the appraisal's got to agree, right? Mm-hmm. Unless there's other elements involved. This is just typical. Then after you navigate that, you got to make sure you hold everything together. Everyone's credit, everyone's intent, all the good faith. You got to get to a closing, right? Then at closing, you gotta pay up whatever you gotta pay up, pay your bills, pay all your things, and you get a check. So that whole process, just the standard closing process outside of a cash transaction, is gonna take 45 to 60 days to close. Mm-hmm. So there's 2 months right there if you have a buyer day one,
right? That's
writing an offer day one, right? Mm-hmm. And so it is a challenge. The bare minimum, you're going a month and a half to 2 months of work of late nights, early mornings, weekends, all these things, dealing with all these ins and outs, these problems, problem solving, all with the chance that you will not make a dime, okay, over and over and over and over and over again.
And if you do, then it takes that long just to see the fruits of all your hard labor.
It does. It does. It's kinda rough. At the end of the day, investors, so think of it like an investment of my time. Mm-hmm. I'm taking my time. I'm going to invest it in the right way. This is where people go astray entering real estate, entering any industry like this that's investment-based. You're selling insurance, you're selling anything, right? You need to go, where am I putting my time that is going to give me a return? Because if I'm putting it into the right place and I have the right broker, the right team leader, the right whatever, counsel, making sure I'm putting my time and efforts in the right direction, then I'm going to get a return. I just have to follow the process,
right?
And then the math always comes back to you, right? Mm-hmm. So you write 5 offers, 1 falls through, you close 4. Mm-hmm. Right. Sometimes you write 5, 3 fall through, you close 2. Mm-hmm. Right. Sometimes you write 5, all 5 close. Yeah. Woo! So it all evens out, right? But it is a slog through the muck.
Yeah.
And then what you run into, the top 6% of the agents sell 90% of the real estate.
Right? Yeah. Oh yeah. Right.
So you gotta work your way through the ranks up to those, you know, to where okay, and people know subconsciously, they're like, oh, you're a realtor now? Oh, great. We'll check in next week.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's this cyclical thing that happens, right? Mm-hmm. And so you got to stick with it, be consistent, stay strong, and have good counsel help you avoid a lot of the mistakes, pitfalls that come in early. Mm-hmm. So we've got a little off track, but we got to count the cost. The small details matter in my business, in your business, man, in every business. And wash the dishes. You know what? I washed some dishes today, and that's where I was like, this is what I'm going to talk about. I've been wanting to talk about something like this soon, and washing the dishes today. You know, I actually really enjoyed it. It was great, slowed me down, focused on it, and brush your teeth, make your bed, wash the dishes, do the small things right. Mm-hmm. And I have watched, this is an area of my life that I haven't been historically profoundly adept at. Mm-hmm. So I started Michigan real estate 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was sold for a couple years previously in another state, 14 years combined now, almost 14, be 14 in February. So about a year into selling real estate in Michigan, it didn't go well. 9 months in, I closed my first deal. Mm-hmm. I made $300.
Cool, wow.
I came home. I may have cried a little bit, maybe just a bit. And I said, babe, something's got to change. And I analyzed myself, right? I looked over what I was doing. I went out and got some counsel. And I said, you know what? I'm all over the place. I'm not taking care of all the little details I got to take care of. Yep. I'm just hoping that the next call is going to be my big one.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing is going to be my big one. And you never know which one is going to be. You have to put yourself in the right position day after day after minute, right? Mm-hmm. So I came back to the drawing board. I changed my approach. And the next 12 months, I closed 55 transactions.
Nice.
And so it really, really paid off. And I've been doing the same boring but thorough process ever since. And it all comes down to, in my business, just caring for people. Mm-hmm. Really, really sincerely caring for people, putting people first, right?
Mm-hmm.
So little things matter. They add up, they stack up, and they can make a big difference in someone's life. So
now you're saying that you enjoyed doing the dishes today.
I did. Etch, listen to me. When we're done here.
Yep. You're going to come to
my
house.
You and I should go in the room back here and we can wash these cups out.
Okay. I'll do that because I promised my fiance today because it's been crazy for both of us and she got to go out and take care of the horses and everything like that today. And as soon as just picked up our daughter from daycare, she's just getting home from her banker job. And I said, listen, let's leave the dishes for me tonight. Okay. I'll take care of the dishes. Not a problem.
My man Etch is going to go home and wash the... Let's get you warmed up.
Yep.
Okay.
That's the plan.
Etch is going to go wash some dishes. Do we not want photo evidence? I think we need photo evidence.
I don't think you want to see how long these dishes have been sitting, Joe. You might see something that just all of a sudden is like,
jump out
of nowhere. There used to be, for our older viewers out there, back in the 80s, there was a TV or a movie that came out, John Cusack, Better Off Dead.
Okay, yeah.
Outstanding, funny, funny movie. One of my favorites. And his mom always made this slop on the dinner plate, and he'd always hated whatever she made. And there was this one scene where he's looking down at his plate and it literally crawls off the plate. Pretty sure that might be the scene if I take some video of what's happening in my sink.
That's
right
most
now,
of the food I grew up with.
Yeah.
Gruel.
Gruel,
oatmeal, beans, rice. That's about it.
There's probably some plants growing in there too. I don't know. There could have been a bean that.
It's all organic, man. There's protein in there somewhere. All right.
Good stuff. So, wash the dishes. We're going to do that. And then we'll be back with you again.
Sounds good. Next episode. Thanks for listening. And if you haven't already, go and follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, and share this, the podcast, the video, whatever you're watching, whatever you're listening to. We appreciate you. And hopefully, you got something out of this today. Take care, everyone. Have a great rest of your week. I'm Joe.
And I am Etch.
And we are out.